Yeah. We're back. We're back in the building. Oh, yeah.
What's up, man?
Not much. How you doing, bro? Bro.
I'm all right. How are you doing, man? For real.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot, but we back. We're going to finish up. And yeah, it's been all right. Just had to take a little break, but we back. We refresh, you know?
Yep. I'm glad to hear it.
It's actually a little bit better though because we got a little bit more material. So like I got to watch AEW and stuff. So we kind of worked out.
I did too.
It was actually really, really good. Actually, where did we finish at? We finished WWE like last time, right? We started talking about the Roman Reigns stable and then Alexa Bliss, and that was it, right? We finished with Alexa Bliss and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And you actually said you were going to talk about AEW, but since it's already happened, we can talk about it.
Yes, sir. And I actually got notes from the other time, and I got some notes from when I actually watched it. First off, I want to go for the Cody's new look. Do you think what's that? He looks like a vein. He looks like something on fucking Twilight, man.
Man, don't put that on him.
I mean, does he not though? I mean,
I don't know. I think he looks more like himself now.
I had a phone call. Hold on. I want to turn my phone on like airplane mode or something. But if I turn on airplane mode, I'm not gonna get any calls. Hold on. You there, bro? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
One second. Just trying to. I hate getting calls while I'm doing this because it messes it all up. There we go. Boom. All right. So yeah, let's go to how do you feel about Lance Archer had COVID, right? If I'm not mistaken, he's got COVID, right?
Uh huh.
So that's why he didn't have that three-way match didn't happen.
Right, but he's getting the title shot now. I think it's next week.
Next week, so they're not doing it. It's going to be on TV. Do you think there'll be a title change on TV, or do you think they're going to wait for a pay-per-view?
Well, if you're talking about titles in general, I think Orange Cassidy's going to take it from Cody.
I do think that's going to happen because I forgot all about that when Orange Cassidy came. Now, I'd actually like to see that. I think Orange Cassidy, he definitely deserves some gold. He's been nothing but gold since I don't know if I talked about it before, but I did not like Orange Cassidy at first. Well, I didn't get it. And as I developed, I'm a fan all the way.
Yeah, me too.
I was gonna say, did you see any of his stuff in the indies? Like, when did you first see Orange Cassidy?
When he showed up on AEW.
Oh, so you don't know anything prior to AEW with him?
No, not really. Not the only stuff I've read online,
Yeah, I went back and watched some stuff, and now I'm not gonna front. Sometimes it gets a little repetitive because once he puts his hand in his pockets, like he does, like the same little shtick. Like I would change a few moves in it, but at the same time, just for him to actually. Because I'm sitting there like, man, this makes wrestling look fucking like it's like Joey Ryan and the people grabbing his dick shit.
Joey Ryan's a joke.
Well,
I take that back. When I say he's a joke for doing that dick shit. But when he's, when he was in a tag team with Candice LeRae on the Indies, that's when he was like, for real.
I have to go back and see it because all I know is when I first started seeing Joey Ryan, it was the King of the Dong style, and I'm watching. And number one, these guys are grabbing his Johnson, and then he's doing flexing his dick and doing a fucking it's just number one. It's not real now. I like when wrestling doesn't take itself too serious sometimes, but I mean, and then him putting lollipops in his wang and put it in people's mouths and stuff. Like if you put a lollipop in your trunks and you put it in my mouth, it's not gonna be a wrestling match. It's gonna become a boxing match at that point.
Yeah, more like an MMA fight because I'm pretty sure he'd get his head kicked in by the right person.
But that's kind of the idea that I was getting back with Orange Cassidy. I was thinking it was something like that. But as I watched it and I'm seeing that he actually can go, I'm sold. I think it's unique. I think it's different, and I like it. I like his character. I actually watch. I'm one of those behind the scene guys. I watch that thing on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's like something with Brandi Rhodes, and they always make food alcohol. and they actually had him on there, and he actually spoke, and it was like you got to see the real him. But he's actually dumb cool. I actually think he's a stoner, so I don't know. But I mean, just I get that vibe off him. Like he just reminds me of a
Shit,
stoner.
maybe.
Have you? I've seen. I'm hearing whisperings of AEW starting a relationship with New Japan.
I'm actually was hoping for that because they trade.
I mean, they had Tanahashi, and they were showing some actual footage from New Japan during the
Yeah,
Jericho.
they do that all the time. I mean, even Moxley, he's the IWGP US champion, last I checked, so.
But you know, they he still is. He still is. And I think Juice Robinson is. I think he's challenging for it, if I'm not mistaken. But my thing is, they never use, like, they'll bring it up, but they never use actual footage. And the fact that they were able to use actual footage from New Japan and they spoke to Tanahashi, I think that's like, you know, I mean, I think that'll be a dope. I think that would be a dope. I think that's what they
Yeah.
need, honestly. I think that'll be a nice shot of steroids to the company if they were to get a
Well,
relationship.
considering ROH has one already with New Japan, so why not one more?
I mean, and I'd include Ring of Honor too. Now, you don't want to do too much and oversaturate your company, and then people can't tell the difference because then they're gonna be like, "Well, I can just watch
Yeah.
this." But you know, it's just I think I definitely think that a relationship with them in New Japan would be dope.
Oh,
I'd be
dude,
for it.
100%. Oh, are you kidding me? Who wouldn't want to see excuse me, Tanahashi versus Jericho, or Omega versus Okada on American soil? You know, like a.
It's so many different like dream matches they would have. And honestly, I think that's where they need to get to is a point where wrestling that they can have. Like WWE needs to get their fucking head out of their ass and maybe sometimes send one of their people over somewhere and actually have. Because I remember, if I'm not mistaken, they sent Hogan back in the day. They sent Hogan to like New Japan a
Yeah.
couple of times and like and actually really. When I saw Hogan in New Japan, I got a new respect for him almost because Hogan can actually go. Like a lot of people don't think so because he's got like maybe like two moves. I mean, he's worse than Cena with it. But I saw him in Japan and I actually see. I mean, he was doing. I mean, it's he was doing technical work and it was actually impressive for Hogan. But yeah, man, I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping for that relationship with them. I just would like them all open up and be able to see like them send maybe AJ Styles somewhere or send maybe the New Day to go fight, you know, different people. But one thing I do want to talk about, I know we're talking AEW, we kind of went to New Japan with that, but one thing I do want to ask you though, how do you feel about the Bullet Club right now?
Well, man. Well, they're back to they're basically having like the OG members right now. I mean, I know Evil's a part of them now too.
Yeah, I remember when Evil joined, but as a whole, like, do you think they're still like relevant? Like, I mean, I know they're not as relevant as they were during the AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, you know, Finn Balor, Prince Devitt period. But I mean, how do you like? I feel like they're falling off, man. I feel like it's becoming almost a parody of
That's
WWE.
what you know that's what no Bullet Club was kind of always like that. They just they beat your ass and have fun doing it and don't give a crap about you or your feelings. So, I mean, that's who they are. I mean the Gorillas of Destiny are probably one of my favorite tag teams. I want to see the hey if they do an AEW relationship, I want to see them versus FTR. That'd be pretty.
Oh my God, yes! But I would love to see God win. Like that would I definitely want to see. Cause what's his name? What I keep forgetting his name. Haku's son. Fucking you know who I'm talking about. What the fuck? Why can't I remember his fucking name right now? That's I
You talking
see. I
about
spoke
G?
to
You
him.
talking about the member, one of the
What?
members of G.O.D.?
Yeah,
Tama
Haku's
Tonga?
son, Ming's son. Yeah, Tomasong. Yeah. Tomasong, that's one of my favorites. And like I fuck with his swag. Like I think only reason I got my Bullet Club shirt on today, so I had to bring it up there. But I don't like Jay White as the leader of the Bullet Club. I just think my thing was with the Bullet Club was a lot, even though Finn Balor wasn't from America, but it was mostly it seemed like more of a Western attitude and they were bringing it over to
Yeah.
the, you know what I mean? That's what actually drew me a little bit more to New Japan. But I just seen some stuff with Jay White and stuff, and I just wanted to see if you had, you know, if what your opinion on Bullet Club was now. I do like Taz's
Oh
stable,
yeah, 100%.
Archer's
100%,
Cage.
yes.
I think Starks, I've been put on the Starks. My homeboy actually told me to watch some stuff from Starks from, I believe it's the NWA. I went and looked. Starks is dope. Cage, I wasn't too much of a Brian Cage fan at first, but I watched some of his old shit, and for a dude that big, he can.
Yeah, exactly. Him. Like Ricky Starks, I mean, he won that NWA television title tournament they had, I think it was earlier this year, like right at the beginning of this year, late last year, he won that tournament. And then he left, you know, so he had to drop the title, obviously. But, you know, he was getting a pretty – he was one of the top dogs there for a minute.
How long Starks?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you. Not off the top of my head.
He can't be too old. He doesn't look like he's too much older than, like, maybe
27. Well, I'm saying he looks like he's fucking 16. But, I mean, like, hey, man. He's gonna look that way for the rest of for probably the rest of his life until he starts going gray, if he lets himself, if that ever happens. But I don't know. I'm thinking maybe five, six years if I had to give a minimum.
Okay, yeah, because I really like that. I really like that little group. Hold on, it's Brian Cage. Isn't there a third?
Huh?
Oh no, there isn't a third. I'm just thinking about Lance Archer, but no, because Taz is collective. I was thinking that they had a third. They were trying to recruit Will Hobbs. That's what it was. And Hobbs is good too. Actually, that was my first match seeing him. I was hearing things about him. That match he had with Brian Cage was pretty good because to see two big guys that can actually move. Usually, most big guys are real sluggish, but fucking Cage busting out moonsaults and shit. Like, I mean, it's pretty crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fucking crazy. But another thing, I want to say Jericho.
Hey, you sound robotic right now. What'd you say?
The Coleman Bridge. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop this and I'm gonna hit you right back once I get over the bridge.
All right, man.
All right, boss. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back and we are here. Can you hear me good right now, bro?
Yes, I can.
For those of you who don't know, I'm in the car right now and I was going over a bridge and a body of water, so my connection wasn't too good, but we are back.
Thank you for setting Southern white men back 150 years.
But yeah, I was just saying, I don't, before we got cut off, I was saying, I can't believe that it's been 30 years that Jericho has been wrestling.
Oh, dude. And the best part is he stays relevant always, somehow, some way, as the years go by.
Always. Even though he's got titties now and he's built like a dad, but he's, you know what I'm saying? He's still like, I mean, he can still move and not only relelevant, but he doesn't like, I still have seen him pull off the lion salt. I've seen him. I mean, he's not missing it. He's not as agile as he was as, you know, WCW.
Oh, obviously, man.
Jericho, but he definitely is still, you know, still good. But I'm 31. I mean, I remember when I first saw Chris Jericho, it was in WCW, and I remember Tape Trader. It was actually a Tape Trader because, yes, I am that old that I remember Tape Traders. But it was a Tape Trader that showed me some stuff from New Japan and ECW, and I got introduced to the Lionheart. And at the point that he showed me that was at the time when he was going through his program with Juventud. Which is one of my favorite fucking of all time luchadors. But he was going through his thing with Juventud Guerrero, where he actually took his mask off. He was going through that, and that's when I got to introduce Chris Jericho.
Super
so he
Brawl
was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, Super Brawl '98, I believe it was, and yeah, because it was Eazy-E's, you know, the Bish. It was his bright idea. Oh, hey, we could be more marketable without the mask on, and then they didn't even do shit with him except threw him in a. And some sort of a token Mexican stable known as the Filthy Animals, and they just threw in white man Billy Kidman for good measure.
That's all. and then they go and send him to WWE, and they have him fucking with Psychosis, and them riding in on fucking lawnmowers.
Super crazy.
Stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh hey, look everyone. All Mexicans cut grass.
Yeah, we're not racist. This isn't a stereotype.
No.
You know, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, their talent spoke about. I mean, seeing if you go back and look at Psychosis and Super Crazy and Juventud and ECW, I mean, they were going to fucking war. Like, I mean, yeah. I seen some great matches and in and then AAA as well. But just it's hard to believe that. I remember one of my favorite Chris Jericho moments was I believe it was Super Bowl. I don't know what it was, but he wasn't. He had the Cruiserweight Championship, and there was a Cruiserweight Battle Royal for the number one contender. And if you ever get a chance, anybody's listening to this, go to YouTube, look at Chris Jericho, and put Chris Jericho commentary. And he's fucking. He gives everybody the wrong names.
Oh
he's
my god!
Calling everybody by like literally. I mean, it is fucking hilarious. The whole match, he's just cutting up, and he's calling there as he introduces them as they come out, and he's calling them all type of fucking crazy names. He's calling Hoover 2 Quasimodo. I don't remember, you know, if you remember that, but he's always calling him Quasi Juice, and he's because he was saying he's so ugly underneath the mask and shit. So he's calling him Quasi Juice and shit.
Oh my god! Come on,
yeah,
Juice, call on Quasi forever.
Yeah, he. But I mean, no, Hoover 2 was. I mean, that 450 split. I love Hoover 2's 450 split.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, his 450 splash was it was great. And I mean Kidman's what he used to call it, the 7-year itch.
Yeah, he scratches nuts and do a backflip.
Yeah, he had that I guess he was supposed to be like a heroin addict or something. His character
he was part of Raven's flock, so it was like something like that.
Yeah, he used to come out all grungy and scratching himself and stuff, and then he would. But that fuck, I mean, Kidman, I like Kidman. Billy Kidman was always one of my favorites as well.
Underrated cruiserweight if there ever was one.
Yeah, definitely. And that was honestly my favorite Chris Jericho period was the cruiserweight WCW Chris Jericho. I mean, I have a lot of favorites.
Yeah.
But I mean, probably the second besides that was the Painmaker when he came back to New Japan. But the Cruiserweight, I mean, Chris Jericho, WCW, that was, I mean, comedic gold. And it was like the matches were crazy. Him and Dean Malenko.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
He was calling
himself
the man of 1,001 holds. Like,
and he started naming off a long ass list, and then some of them repeat it. I was like, dude, this is like, he's writing this himself. There's no goddamn way.
Dog, this nigga said armbar like 15 times.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, da 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 da. Who, Hurricane Rana. Arm bar, and he would go into the fucking they went to commercial break, they came back, this motherfucker says move 135 arm bar. Man, I mean, Chris Jericho's always been definitely great. I think he was underutilized, but and people, I remember people were questioning when he came in and he was the first the first undisputed champion when he went on to beat The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night. Like, you can't deny that. I mean, granted, wrestling is predetermined, but I mean, for them to have the faith to somebody and go in there and beat The Rock and Stone Cold, like the two main people in your program for the past, you know, God knows how long at that time, you know, and I don't know if they even believed in him all the way. But at the same time,
I have his book when he wrote about it. They didn't believe in him at all. They didn't believe in him whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't think that they would believe. I never even thought that that would happen, let alone him be the first undisputed champion. But I think he does. In my opinion, he deserved it. I do think it was too early. As far as WWE, now, if it were to happen in WCW, be a little different, but just at that time that we had been programmed to see him as a cruiserweight, so it was just different seeing him come, then, you know, make that jump and do all that. But I stand behind him 100%. Like, anything Chris Jericho did was always gold to me. So congratulations to him for 30 years of being wrestling, not, you know, fucking himself up too bad, not getting CTE or doing some Chris Benoit shit or some, you know, he's never been in any real big trouble or anything crazy. And I mean, shit, many more to him.
Yeah, that's right. And one of my favorite Chris Jericho moments since you said yours, I'll say mine. It's probably one you won't expect, but it was the championship win that wasn't.
What do you mean about that?
I think it was State College, Pennsylvania, 2000, 6 days before Backlash, or it was a couple weeks before Backlash, before he was supposed to. He pinned Triple. Well, he did a lion salt, pinned Triple H for the title because Earl Hebner did the fast count.
Remember, okay, and when was this? I don't remember this now. Hold on.
It was in 2000.
So and he didn't win the belt that match, though.
No, no, he didn't, though. But the thing was, he had the APA come out there in case anyone tried to interfere. And, you know, that's when Triple H was, like, shoving Earl Hebner almost every match. Well, Earl Hebner had enough. He shoved him. He shoved Triple H, and then Jericho hit him with the spinning heel kick, a lion salt. Then Earl Hebner did, like, a fast three count, and then the crowd blew, man. You would have thought a bomb went off in that building.
I vaguely remember that. I'm going to have to go back and look at that and take some notes.
Yeah, you should.
That sounds like – I mean, I vaguely remember it, but I'm not, like, 100%. But that so, but he didn't win the title. Like
No. Yeah, well, yeah, obviously Triple H made Earl reverse it after he's shown, hey, yeah, that was a fast count, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the thing was, you know, they wanted to kind of test the waters to see if the fans would buy Jericho as, like, a legitimate championship, you know, holder, championship contender. Let's just say they did.
Well, so but this was before the Universal.
Oh God!
I mean, I keep saying Universal. The fucking Undisputed.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! This was a year before that, actually.
Okay.
Or about 18 months before that. I think it was 18 months before that title win. But this was when Triple H was like, this was after that shitty WrestleMania 2000. It was after that.
Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna have
a McMahon in every.
Let me take that in my notes.
McMahon in every corner.
Which you said 2002? What pay per view?
No. 2000.
2000. Which pay per view was it?
It wasn't a pay per view. It was a Raw in State College, Pennsylvania.
Raw, Pennsylvania, and it was Jericho versus Triple
H.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jericho.
I know that's a weird ass moment, but that was one of my favorites because I remember watching that live, dude. I was like 10 years old, and when dude pinned, my grandfather was sitting right there. He said, "I land in hell." He won, but he beat that big nose bastard. I think my papa hated Triple H with a burning passion. Whenever he came on the TV to talk for 30 minutes, my grandfather would say, "Get that big nose bastard off there and do some wrestling."
Yeah, that's y'all. It ain't weird to me. Everybody's got their own teachers on. Everybody's got their own moments. And just to counteract with that, my dad hated Rikishi, and because I would watch it, and my dad would be like, "Man, I'll tell you what, that big motherfucker, he come put his ass in my face, I get up and shoot him." Like, he used to see him do the stink face, and he would be like, "Lo, he was so adamant about it. He's like, "Man, I don't know how no grown man can do that. If he would have came and put his big ass in my face, I'd have got up and shot him." And I that used to have me fucking dying. But yeah, man, that's crazy. Do you have a let me think. Okay, how about this one? Cruiserweight Jericho, right? WCW.
Yeah.
What was your favorite, if not match, what was your favorite feud with him?
Favorite feud. I think my favorite feud was not even a feud. It was him versus, he kept trying to go Goldberg into wrestling him, but he never would.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think, and not to mention another thing too, that's like kind of out of the ring that I want to mention about Jericho, since we're on the Jericho train right now. Jericho is like, I mean, I don't know if him being like a legit fighter as in like knowing Muay Thai or something like that, but the guy has balls because when Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton fought and they had that match where he busted Randy open the hard way, and Randy was leaking, I believe that Jericho didn't know if they planned it or what. I guess he thought that he was being like extra rough with him and he was doing too much, but when he backstage, Jericho was about to get into a legit fight with Brock Lesnar.
Oh yeah, Jericho. Hey, Jericho took down Goldberg backstage.
Oh yeah, but see, Goldberg is a lot. I think Goldberg, I honestly think a lot of people could take down Goldberg and people don't know it, but Brock Lesnar though, I'd definitely be more scared of Brock Lesnar than Goldberg. Granted, I'm not the size of either one of them, so either one of them, I'd probably have to pull out a gun. But still, you know, yeah, just Jericho. I mean, he's definitely, it's a lot to him, man. And I'd like, and not to mention, he's got a pretty dope rock band.
Yeah. He does.
That Fozzie thing, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Fozzie was like, I mean, the Judas song was actually on the Billboard top. I know it was in the top 10. I don't know if it ever got to one, but I definitely know it was in the Billboard top 10. And, you know, that's shmoneys. That's good shmoneys.
Yeah, you got the yeah. He's if he wasn't rolling in it before, he definitely is now.
Oh,
Oh wait, he
he's
is.
damn sure been rolling in it. The crazy thing, one of the crazy things that I read when in 2001, when WWF made the purchase of WCW for its library and its contractual people, Jericho found out, if I'm not mistaken, it was right around like $1 million. If it, do you know the price? I want to say it was like right around $1 million.
For the what?
For
For what? The
yeah, when they
purchase?
purchased WCW, the library and the contract, it was worth so they had lost so much money. I believe that Vince McMahon bought it for $1 million or something like
Was that?
1.5, just something low.
Don't think it. Well, not including the contracts. I think the entire company only cost $3 million, actually.
But see, but that's low though. You get what I'm saying? Like it was a low number. I couldn't
Oh
remember
yeah.
for sure, but it was definitely a low number. And when Jericho found out, his words exactly, when he found out what Vince McMahon bought it for, he was pissed because he said if he would have known, he would have bought it himself. Which I know, and I know they were a lot of them were pissed because I mean, you think about it, like they definitely there's a lot of wrestlers that could have afforded it. Sting could have afforded it.
Shit.
If just a couple of them put their money together, they could have afforded it, and I believe they could have kept it afloat. But that's here nor there. We've got AEW, which is way better, so I'm happy with that.
Well, there you go.
I'm happy with that. So, Lev, we want to right now we want to go into Dynamite for what day was this? I believe it was October. Let me check. Let me go into my. Wednesday was the 7th. So October the 7th. The card was Brian Cage versus Will Hobbs with Cage winning. Then it was Taz. Oh no! I'm sorry, Ricky Starks versus. Oh what? I don't know what I put right here. I think this is okay. This was after the match when Ricky Starks and Cage were trying to get Will Hobbs to basically join his Taz's collective, and they said they were going to basically beat Will Hobbs' ass, and Darby Allin came for the rescue. So then after that, we had FTR versus TH2. What does TH2 stand for? The Hybrid 2, right?
The hybrid too,
How do you
yeah.
feel about them?
Dude, I've watched Angelico back from Lucha Underground when he did that fucking insane jump off the top, and he did that big ass dive and landed on two dudes in the ring.
See, I've never seen it. I didn't watch too much Lucha Underground. The most I watched was a lot of Prince Puma, as we know as Ricochet today. But I,
Yeah, well, let me just put it. He had Vampiro jumping out of his commentary seat. The dude literally did a running start from what he was on one side on the he wasn't even near the ring. He was actually on the right side where the dude's office was.
okay.
Dario Cueto's office. He was on the roof of his office. Like what they did was they went up to the steps where the crowd was. They went across the catwalk, made a big U, like a big I'm sorry, a big L, like a right turn. They were fighting right there. And Helico got up, jumped off the office building, and flew onto the ring onto two people.
Damn. I'm gonna have to go. See, now I'm gonna have to watch some Lucha Underground because
You
Lucha
have to.
Underground definitely was all right. I like the way they made it as almost like a show. Like they didn't take it as too serious, but it's still like the wrestling was actually really, really good from what I saw.
Oh yeah, and Phoenix's Lucha Underground title wins another one to watch because that was pretty
So that's
fucking
their name,
sweet.
what? Hunico and Phoenix? What's their names?
Angelico.
Angelico. Okay. So yeah, I've only seen their work in AEW. I've never seen anything but their work in AEW. But they had a good match. And then at the end of that match, well, FTR obviously won. Best
Yeah.
friends come out and they're basically, I believe, gonna be challenging for the tag team titles.
Next week.
I think they deserve it. Do I think they're gonna get it? No. I think they're gonna wait till a
No.
pay-per-view. But I think the next up, I mean, who if you had a choice of your next up for the tag team titles, who would you pick in AEW right now?
What, to be the new
Yeah,
champions?
after FTR is done, like who do you think is gonna be next up for the I want Pentagon and Rey Phoenix because they're my fucking favorites, but
I think it's going to be the Young Bucks, actually.
oh yeah, I forgot the Bucks are beefing with them. Yeah, so probably what's gonna happen is Best Friends is gonna beef with them just to give it some time, and then Young Bucks are gonna take it. But I do like the fact that Young Bucks hasn't been all over the title because I thought that what the hell is that? Oh, okay. I thought that Young Bucks were gonna because of the fact that they own well, they're part of the ownership, and the hierarchy of the
Yeah.
company. I thought that, Omega and the Young Bucks were gonna take advantage of that and be having belts and stuff like that. But I like the fact that they're putting themselves to the back burner for the other talent. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Hold on 1 second.
I know what you're saying. Uh-oh. Oh,
God, man. I can't never. I swear. But, yeah. No. Yeah, they then the best friends come out and, you know, finish that. So then we have Cody and Brody Lee, the dog collar match. I actually was talking to you before it happened and you wouldn't spoil it for me because I was trying to spoil it for me. So I went back and watched it and holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that match was pretty fucking crazy. That match was pretty fucking crazy.
Uh-huh.
Hold on one second. Actually, I'm gonna have to because they got kids crying and shit. I'm gonna hang up and then we're gonna start our last section. All right.
All right, man. Sounds good.
All right. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry about that, man. Trying to fucking do house where people don't know the word silence is hard. I definitely. And one thing I want to ask you before I finish up with our AEW portion, you have an update on the ROH title tournament, right?
Yeah, I do. And there were eight.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure you had that before we finish this off. But we get the dog collar match with Cody and Brody Lee was fucking insane. It was great. I like the fact that they're not scared to bleed on there. And it... yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm testing. 1, 2, motherfucking 3. Can you hear me? Can you hear me good right now?
Yeah.
Is it slow?
You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, I can hear you okay now.
You can hear me now though? Is it slow? I do. It was kind of delayed for a second though. How about now? I just want to make sure we got it. You good now? You can hear me now?
Yeah, you're not delaying on my end.
Okay. All right, we good. Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, we that match, I was just saying I like how they're not afraid to bleed. They're not afraid to, you know, because the company's not geared towards children. So they're not scared to, you know, put a little blood in their matches. They're not scared to, you know, use a little foul language. It's giving me the Attitude Era feel almost, but it's not trying to recreate the Attitude Era. Because I think the problem is a lot of places are trying to recreate the Attitude Era because it was such a boom in wrestling. True. But you can never get that era back. There's nothing you can do to get that back, and it was organic. It wasn't something that just, you know, they were trying for it, but it was so organic, like just trying to create something like that and it not popping off organically would just feel cheap, you know. Yeah. But that match was really good.
It just feels real with AEW now.
I really enjoyed that match. I mean, it's the simple shit, like them being able to do, you know, the stuff, seeing that pile driver through the table was so beautiful because of the fact, I mean, you know, they can't even do pile drivers in WWE anymore. Like, I mean, and that's crazy to me because it's always been one of my favorite moves. Like, honestly, if I was wrestling, that would be my finisher. It would be some type of pile driver, you know? But it's just, I always loved that move, and they have been able, I haven't seen a pile driver on WWE TV in years. I forgot when they said you couldn't do it anymore, but that match all together was good. I think that Cody won the belt back too early, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, I'm sure he's gonna use it to elevate somebody else because Orange Cassidy will probably have that belt pretty soon. So I just like he's usually pretty much like a transitional champion.
Yeah, definitely, I think so too.
Transitional champion for, you know, and then it, when the person that has to fight him goes in to fight him and they actually win, it elevates them because he's just not some slouch. You know what I mean? He's Cody Rhodes. You know, he's the American Nightmare. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I definitely that was it for AEW. I'm definitely anticipating what's gonna happen next week. I really want to see what I don't know what's the next pay per view is gonna be, but I'm gonna have to do some notes and we're gonna have to kick it in on that. But definitely great episode of Dynamite. I was really impressed. I really am enjoying all the stuff that's going on, and it's got me invested. That's one thing about AEW. I actually care. Like, I care to, you know, want to know what's happening with the product. A lot of the storylines, I care about seeing what, you know, is happening. I think they're doing a great job of just giving that feel back to people who were disillusioned with wrestling and haven't really, you know, it's been kind of, you know, a floating thing for them. Like, it's like an on and off. I think AEW is giving people that. I mean, I was for just the other day, I was watching something. I forgot where I was, but I was watching AEW and dude came out. He's like, "Is that Jim Ross?" And he's looking, he's like, "Is that Chris Jericho?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Man, this is bringing back memories." And he sat and watched it, and AEW's got a new fan now. You know, so something simple as that. I mean, it's just like, yeah. I really like what they're doing, and I hope they continue, and I really hope that AEW blooms. And I don't want them to take WWE out of business, but I want them to definitely be out of competition and each other's necks, because that's going to make good – it's going to make good good TV. But yeah,
I agree 100%.
Do you have any notes you want to wrap up our AEW portion up with, or anything you want to say about any thoughts about AEW?
Well, no, other than the fact that next week's episode is stacked to the brim, and hopefully, you know, it'll deliver.
Yeah, we're damn near getting a pay per view on TV, so you can't never get mad.
It is the anniversary show, so yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely in for some good stuff. So we're gonna finish up that AEW segment. Next segment, we're gonna be talking about the Pure Title Tournament. And what else did you say you had for us? You said the Pure Title Tournament and what else?
And NXT TakeOver 31 and the results.
All right. So, yeah, we're about to start that section now. I'm gonna stop this one and we're gonna start
that. Did you hear me? All right.